And joining us now from CBSSports.com, one of the finest at covering the National Football League, our good friend Clark Judge. Clark, welcome back to the show.
My pleasure to be here, Vic.
Well, the Browns have won three in a row, Clark. I know you've paid attention to that. They've made the second half of the season a lot more interesting and looking like the young players are coming together. What are your observations?
Well, I certainly look at them from afar, and from afar it looks like it's a team with a pulse for the first time in a while. That's exciting. You've got some good young players there. Typically, you find the Cleveland Browns sort of fading down the stretch. I remember Mangini's last year where they got embarrassed the last four games. And it was just, there's a feeling like, geez, this team is just not going anywhere. I had that feeling this season coming into this year because they were coming off a bad year, weren't scoring a lot of points. Right. And suddenly they got something going. And I did see them in Baltimore where Whedon actually looked pretty good. And I thought, well, maybe they've got some people here, but they're not going to do anything. And now you look these last 3 weeks and you say, you know what? These guys, these young players are starting to produce. It's kind of exciting to watch. I mean, I think not only for the fans, it gives them something to look forward to next year, but certainly this weekend, because you're not going to the playoffs, but you got a chance to affect some of the teams that are going to the playoffs or think they might be going to the playoffs.
Right. And that's the thing, Clark. You talk about the young players and their level of, I don't know what it is. I don't want to say it's naivete, like they don't know better, but to just play and play hard. But that could be some of it, because they're not jaded by the NFL experience or by a Browns history, as you point out, that hasn't been so good. So that might be a factor. But I think the other thing is, aren't these just good players that are starting to show what they can do now that they know a lot more about what this league is?
Well, it's beginning to look that way, Vic. I mean, I think going into this year, you weren't sure what you had there. You know, the rookie quarterback, rookie running back, and you thought, okay, running back we think is going to be pretty good, but we just don't know. I mean, the injury, is he going to be okay through that? How is he going to be in his first pro year? Some young guys on the outside, how are they going to be? And as the season's gone on, they've improved and they've gotten better. And typically, guys with talent, that's what happens. You simply play them and play them. I covered a 49ers team that wasn't very good in 1999 for the first time, and they drafted a ton of guys and said, we're wheeling them out there, and we're going to play them. And they did play them. I think they were 6-10 the next year, and then they were in the playoffs, and they were in the playoffs for three straight years. So that's what you can get there. When you play guys and give them experience, there's nothing better than that. If you've got a coach that has that confidence to play those guys, that's terrific. And I give Pat Shurmur a lot of credit, because Pat Shurmur's, he's certainly on the firing squad, and nobody knows whether he's going to come back. He's fighting a very difficult battle, and yet he's rolling out these young guys in the same play, because what's in the best interest of the organization? Playing these guys, giving them time, and maximum exposure, and that's what they're doing, and they're improving. And I think Pat Shurmur's at least making a case to try to keep him around.
Yeah, and I want to get to that, because I know you've written about this before, about the unenviable situation here prior to this win streak earlier in the season.
Right.
You wrote that, and you painted that picture. Now that you've seen what this team, how these players have responded to Pat Shurmur, and in light of what's here, the ownership change, having a new CEO, and all that's different above Pat Shurmur, do you what's your take on how he's handled that, and how it's been handled between him, the coaching staff, and the players?
Well, I think it's been handled as well as it could have, and I think Pat Shurmur's handled it beautifully, because he simply put it aside and said, listen, I'm going to coach this team and coach it as well as I can. I'm not going to deal with that. I'm going to try to win some ball games. And that can be difficult when you've got that as a distraction. I mean, he's looking out as to, I mean, what's my future here? I don't know. And honestly, when you've got, as you know, Vic, when you've got a new either GM or CEO, it's very difficult for that guy to retain a coach that he hasn't chosen. Typically, when they come in, they have people in mind, and that person or those people aren't the guy that's in place. And, you saw a situation there in Cleveland where Holmgren came in with Eric Mangini, and he kept him, but he kept him for a year. Maybe that's what goes on here, because Mangini finished with a flourish that season, and he stayed around for 1 year. But I think there was always a feeling that he's not his guy, he's going to go. And I would feel somewhat the same way with Pat, is that, I mean, he's fighting a difficult, difficult battle, and yet this team is getting better with each week. And now I think, as I said, we're going to find out something about them down the stretch here. But I just like the fact that they're playing good football. I mean, it's just nice to see them playing good football. And as I said, I do think both sides have handled it pretty well. You don't hear anything coming from management, and you certainly don't hear anything coming from Pat Shurmur other than just win the next ball game.
Yeah, you talk about this stretch. It starts with Washington Sunday right. at Cleveland Brown Stadium and then road games at Denver and Pittsburgh. Definitely a very difficult stretch, to say the least. But do you get? Is it fair to say that the Browns have become a team that you really don't want to play now, especially when you're those other clubs that have those heavier postseason ramifications?
Yeah, I think that is fair. You know, and I temper that some because it's certainly they're not going to be going to the playoffs, but they're the kind of team that has nothing to lose, all right? And those are the ones that you go, well, okay, I mean, your listeners could say, yeah, Oakland has nothing to lose, Kansas City. Yeah, but those guys know that they are just going nowhere. There can be big changes. There's nothing to play for. There's nothing to build on. There's something to build on here. These guys are playing sort of carefree football, saying, listen, you know, we can throw a wrench into the playoff hopes of these next three opponents. And it's going to be tough. I mean, the road clearly is uphill, and it's a steep climb. You look at those next three opponents, it's going to be tough to win those games, Vic, and that's why I think Pat Shurmur is facing a very difficult and grand obstacle to overcome. But if you can win maybe two of those three, you know, certainly if you lap the field, you make a strong case for your retention. But I think you're right. I mean, I think Washington looks at this game, and I said this a couple weeks ago in a Washington station. I said, of the four games you have left, the game in Cleveland's the one that I'd worry about because the Browns are feeling pretty good about themselves. They're home, and they're looking at the Redskins saying, hey, you know what? We can ruin their season. You know,
right.
And that's dangerous. That's dangerous.
Clark Judge from CBSSports.com joins us. He covers the National Football League. And, Clark, as we broaden the lens here and look at the rest of the NFL, the big story being, of course, Paul Tagliabue ruling to vacate all of the suspensions of the players involved in the bounty case, the Saints bounty case, and then the fallout of that. Roger Goodell certainly can't be happy that you know, that his predecessor made that ruling and essentially, you know, overturned, I mean, his logic of punishment or his reasoning to do that. And then further fallout, Drew Brees coming out and saying that there is a lack of respect of this current commissioner, of Roger Goodell, among players, and he says even among some fans. And Drew Brees, again, he's got a stake in this thing because it affected his team. But what do you make of all this?
Well, let's backtrack. Drew Brees, I don't make anything about Drew Brees. He's been complaining all year long. Drew Brees needs to concern himself more with what's going on the field. Drew Brees isn't a very good quarterback right now, okay? I mean, he's throwing a lot of interceptions. He needs to concentrate on what he's doing and forget about what Roger Goodell is doing. He's spoken out a lot about this during the season, and honestly, I just wish he'd kind of go away and concentrate on more of Drew Brees.
All
now,
right.
Secondly, with the Tagliabue situation, I think, honestly, his ruling might have satisfied the league to this respect. It gave them an exit ramp out of this thing. I mean, essentially, this thing is all but over. Now, clearly, it's not over because the judge says you can pursue this through the courts if you want. Jonathan Vilma saying, I'd like to pursue the defamation case. I don't think he's got a chance of winning that thing. Nevertheless, I do think he's going to pursue it. But in essence, what Tagliabue did was he gave the league a convenient out here to say, listen, you guys are right. You're on the right track. You know, no question there was wrongdoing here. It's with the Saints organization, with their coaches, and with the front office. They allowed this to happen. The players simply carried out those orders. And you're right. There was wrongdoing on all parts, but the wrongdoing starts with these guys. The players were simply carrying out orders. Therefore, we vacate the suspensions. So he throws Roger a bone that way. Now, you're absolutely right in vacating the suspensions. He knocked him down a couple levels. But at this point, I think the league is simply relieved to get this off the front pages and move on with football games and the playoffs. That's what they're hoping, and I think that's what is accomplished.
Yeah, it's I would go along with that, that I think it did move it and maybe, like you say, give the league a little bit of a way out here. But I just wonder if people, how much, say, the fan base and possibly some players. Let's put aside Drew as the complainer, but is a point there to be made that you know, the commissioner, the current commissioner, makes this ruling, and then, you know, someone else that maybe he was, and I'm not saying he was counting on Tagliabue to support his position on this thing, but clearly to have the complete 180 on it and make the whole thing do a 360, I guess, but have a 180, it doesn't it make you feel a little bit like, okay, what did he come down a little too hard on this? Did he, was it thought through the whole way?
Oh, no question about that, Vic. Absolutely, and I'm glad you mentioned that, because clearly what Paul Tagliabue did surprised people at the league office. There's no question about that. I don't think anyone anticipated that. Secondly, I do think players look at this as saying, you know what, there's somebody outside of our circle. In fact, somebody inside the league circle, the previous commissioner, for goodness sakes, who believes what we do, that this current commissioner is overstepping or has overstepped his bounds, that maybe he's gotten a little bit too much power. Maybe he is exercising a little too much power. Now, that some of that power, and most of that power he got, came from a CBA that the player signed off on.
Right.
Nevertheless, they complained about this and said, we were right, we didn't do anything. And here we've got the previous commissioner saying, you know what, I find that actually they're right in the respect that they didn't deserve this punishment, and essentially saying, Roger, you were wrong in giving this punishment to them. It was too severe. You did overstep your bounds. You were right in saying there was wrongdoing here, no question, but the punishment was too severe. And I think this is going to have repercussions in the future, because I think players in the future who are accused of anything, now I won't say similar, because I can't imagine anything similar like this coming up, but of severe transgressions, can say, I've got another recourse. You know, I'm going to say that I think the commissioner is acting too severely.
Clark, great stuff, always. We appreciate it, and we look forward to talking down the line.
Thanks, Vic. Appreciate it.
He is Clark Judge, covers the NFL for CBSSports.com. Joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. We've got much more coming up on ESPN 850 WKNR.